Jesus' first homily right here. He goes into the synagogue and he preaches this during the liturgy. You will recognize the way we do Mass from the way what they did in the synagogue worship. And Jesus' first homily is, honestly, it could just be, it's a one-sentence mic drop. You know, like, this is fulfilled in your hearing. He opened the scroll to a specific place, okay? He didn't have daily readings that were prescribed for him to read. And he didn't just open up the scroll and like, okay, first, I know you've all done this with the Bible. You've been like, and I'll read this. He didn't do that. He was like, okay, where's that page again? Hold on one second. That's right. This is the one. And he proclaims it very intentionally. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. All right, the Spirit of the Lord is on him. He has anointed me. Remember, anointing, that's the Christ. Anointing, this is, the anointed one is the Christ, all right? He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. I think we understand the freedom and the blindness, but the year acceptable to the Lord, this is a reference to a Jubilee year. Okay? So every 50 years was a Jubilee year. It has to do with why every 50 has to do with the number of completion being 7. And it's like, it's described in Scripture, but 7 weeks of years would be 7 times 7 years, which would be 49. And then the 50th year, beginning at the after the 49th year is done, would be that Jubilee year. In the Exodus, God freed the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt and gave them the promised land. So that the Israelites might continue living in this freedom, the law, the first 5 books, provides a way for those who sold their ancestral land and were reduced to slavery because of debts. It gave them a way to regain their freedom and their land. So every 50 years, you shall proclaim liberty in the land for all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. And when each of you shall return to your own property, each of you to your own family. Anyone who had become an indentured servant was freed. Anyone who had lost their land, it was returned to them. This is the Jubilee year. And the second part of Isaiah, the Jubilee concept is applied to the people as a whole to describe their return from the exile in Babylon. Right? So they were slaves in Egypt. God sets them free and then says, every 50 years, you're going to do this. And after God's people did not obey him all the time, and because of this, went into exile in Babylon. Okay? And when we look at the history of Israel, we're supposed to be able to look at our own life and say, oh, that looks familiar. And we can. In the second part of Isaiah, the Jubilee concept being applied to the whole people, okay? But with the return of Israel's exiles to the land, the Lord God is portrayed as Israel's kinsman redeemer, a goel, it's the Hebrew word goel, who has the responsibility to free anyone who's in need of freeing. This is a responsibility of your kinsman. So God identifies himself as Israel's redeemer. I will be the one who has the responsibility to save you in distress. So the Lord is portrayed as the Goel, the Redeemer who frees Israel from the slavery caused by debt. That is the exile caused by sins. Okay, it is also applied to individuals. A time to proclaim liberty and announce a year of favor from the Lord. It becomes a prophecy for Israel's future restoration. Okay, and when it's written down in Isaiah, what Jesus read, this, when Isaiah wrote it, was a prophecy about what the Messiah would do. The Messiah will come as the kinsman who redeems the enslaved people, ushering a Jubilee age of liberty. Okay, this is the background. So that when Jesus opens the scroll up to this page, okay, and reads it, he is saying, I am the one prophesied by Isaiah to be the Redeemer of Israel. I am that one. He specifically chooses this because God's people have been waiting for this Redeemer to come. They've been waiting to be set free. And now, in his first homily, Jesus just says, today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. And then he does all of these things. He restores sight to the blind. He lets the oppressed go free. And he delivers his people from their sins. This is what the Lord said to you also today. Did you know this year is a Jubilee year? The Pope said so. So it is. Okay. Every 25 years in the Catholic Church, there's a Jubilee year. I can't remember why we get to cheat and do it twice in 50 years. I don't know, but we do, and that's all that matters, okay? And this year, with this year being a Jubilee year, what does that mean? What is the significance of that? It has to do with the Lord setting us free and opening our eyes. It has to do with the Lord restoring us into relationship, sometimes always with him and with one another, and sometimes in new ways that actually it's even more than a restoration. When Jesus said this 2,000 years ago, it was true, but it is no less true today. What is the year acceptable to the Lord? What is the Jubilee year? It's this year. It's right now. Now is the acceptable time. And Jesus says this to you today. Every time the gospel is proclaimed, especially during the liturgy, Jesus is present in its proclamation. Now, you just heard Deacon Randy proclaim this gospel. You saw his face, you heard his voice, but these are Jesus' words, and Jesus is present when Deacon Randy said these things. Jesus said these things. When he spoke, he spoke. And he said this to you this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord this year. And right now, the Lord freeing you from any bondage of slavery of sin. That's what the Lord has come to do today for you. Are there sins that you need freedom from? He has come to you today to do that. Are there regrets and mistakes of the past that, boy, that hovers over you like a cloud, it follows you everywhere you go, you think it's going to define you? That's not freedom, right? That is not freedom. Oh, I have these things in my past and they kind of define me and I just can't get away from them, and I'll always be the person who didn't do this. I'll always be the person who did this. I'll always be the person this happened to me. And the Lord says, actually, that's slavery, and I have come to set you free from that. Jesus' death on the cross already paid the price so that all of that regret, all of that condemnation, all of that guilt, all the shame that we feel from those sins, he's already taken it on. He's just looking for us to say, Lord, I'm asking you to set me free from this regret and from this shame and this guilt. I'm asking you to set me free from that. That's what he's come to do today. Blindness, he's come to take the scales off of our eyes. When Jesus showed up and he said these things, he revealed to everybody that God is a loving Father. He taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven. He told the parable of the prodigal son. He told many such parables. And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And what you saw when you look at Jesus, when you read in the Gospels, what do you see? Somebody whose love and forgiveness triumphs over all of our sins. Somebody who has come not to condemn, but to forgive, to restore, and to give us his innocence. Like, we get to give God all of our sins and guilt and shame, and he gives us his innocence. That's what he's come to do. That's freedom. You can say, oh, I want to be set free from they might have said, I want to be set free from the Romans. You know, you want way more than that. is basically what Jesus said to his people. You want way more than that. And I have way more than that to offer. And you're going to be more free than any of the Romans. And it's through you that they're going to be set free. That they're going to know me, and they're going to know my power to set them free from sin and shame and guilt and regret. And they're going to have this new life of grace and the scales coming off of their eyes to see that God is a loving Father, and that when we come to Jesus Christ, we are the Father's children. And really his sons and daughters. And like the scales coming off, the Lord wants the scales to come off of your eyes so that you will be able to talk to God as a father and to know that every problem that you have is his problem. And every blessing that he has is your blessing. Everything he has is yours. Remember, that's the end of the parable, toward the end of the parable of the prodigal son. My son, you're with me always. All that I have is yours. To let the scales fall off of your eyes and to hear him say, my daughter, everything I have is yours. Just ask. I'm going to take care of you. My son, you don't need to try to do this all on your own. You belong to me. That's what the Lord is proclaiming to us today and this year and right now, that we would be able to have the faith to invite Jesus to do these things in our lives right now. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that in each one of our lives, you would open our eyes to see how much the Father loves us, and that everything that you have is ours. Give us the joy of living in relationship with you, and we ask Jesus to be set free from every sin and from every guilt. And Jesus, we thank you that you will do this because you are faithful. Amen.